want you to picture this, if you will. There's a vacant lot next to a house, and there are two children playing in the middle of this lot, just having fun playing. And the mother comes out the back door of the house of this little girl, and she says, Susie, come home. And so Susie continues to play with Eddie, having a good time. And her mother says, and her mother can see her. Her mother says, Susie, come home. She just continues to play, having a beautiful time. And the third time, her mother says, Susie, come home. And she's just having a good time playing with her friend Eddie there. And finally, her mother says, Susie, come home. She turns to Eddie and says, Mother means it now. I've got to come home. Mother means it now. Do you know our praying sometimes is like that? Our praying is like that. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that as we spend these few minutes together, you would help us to realize the importance of prayer, realize that we must couple that with something that proves to God that we mean what we say. And fasting is that which proves to God that we mean what we say. Like Susie, well, Mommy means it now. God says, well, Tom, Dick, and Harry mean it now because they have fasted along with their praying. And help us to realize, Father, that this is an it's just a neglected doctrine that's in the Word of God. Thank you for making it alive to us through these past days. And may this day we also reaffirm in our heart that we're going to couple fasting with our praying so that God can say, well, I guess they mean it now. I will give them what they're asking for. In Jesus' name, amen. When we talk about fasting, some say, well, that is just doing without this or doing without that. Maybe, bam. He's got the paper. Maybe that it just means doing without some things. And that is true. If you fast, it is withholding some things. But we can't deny the fact that primarily fasting deals with food. Primarily fasting deals with food. Now, there are three kinds of fasts in the Word of God. One, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, it is simply a normal kind of a fast. We will call it a normal fast. A normal fast, Matthew 4, 2 says, after spending 40 days and nights without food, Jesus was hungry. A normal fast is that fast which does without food only. There are three type fasts. The first is normal. But you have water. Now Jesus, when he was 40 days on this Mount of Temptation, drank water because it says that after that he was hungry. It says nothing that he was thirsty. It's the normal kind of a fast, just doing without food. The second kind of a fast is an absolute fast. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 9, the word says, regarding Saul, Acts 9:9. For 3 days he was not able to see, and during that time he did not eat, nor did he drink anything. Now this is the absolute fast. It's doing without food, it's doing without water. Now I'm not going to have you lift your hand because this would be a show, but I would like to think that if I asked you, have any of you gone on a normal fast, no food but with water, there would be a lot of hands. Probably every hand would go up, I would trust. If I asked the second question, if you've gone on an absolute fast for a period of time, meaning no water and no food, I would like to think that the majority of you would have lifted your hand. These are the two of the three different fasts. Now, the absolute fast, as Acts 9:9 says, no food and no water. The body can do without food much longer than it can do without water. The body just can't go very long without water. It's got to have the water. Now, the absolute is neither food nor water. Ezra, in the Old Testament, went 1 day without food and water. Mordecai went 3 days without food and water. Saul, we just read about, went 3 days without food and water. Moses went 40 days without food and water. And Elijah went 40 days without food and water. These men, these women, were on an absolute fast. Now, the third of the three type fast is found in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 3. Daniel 10, 3. And in Daniel chapter 10, verse 3, it says, I did not eat any rich food or any meat, drink any wine, or comb my hair until the 3 weeks were past. Daniel here went 21 days without, it says here, a tasty bread, desirable food. It would equate to maybe sweet rolls or desirable, tasty kind of pastry. He went 21 days. This is our scripture for the partial fast. A partial fast. The vegetable diet that we went on these past days was a partial fast. Now, to review why we did what we did in our partial fast, it was for the ministry of the community church. It was for revelation. It was for ourselves being in the place where we're supposed to be. A lot of side effects evolved from that. A lot of people have changed their way of living and eating. Your pastor, for example, never eats now before he goes to bed at night. When he wakes up in the night, I never get up and eat anymore. I found out I can do without this, and I'm much better as a result of it. So I can spend that time with the Lord. The partial fast, however, and the absolute fast and the normal fast are the things that we do that get God's attention. Now, you may think this strange, but God needs your attention. When you pray for something, God's got to hear you say by actions, I really mean it. You know, a pagan can pray, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me, or bless that person or that person, bless, 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 bless. God knows our attitudes. God knows our heart. And this is why I'm encouraging you, one day a week at least, go on some kind of a fast. Go on some kind of a fast. What it is going to do is going to allow God to know that you are serious about what you are praying about. Now, on the fast that we went on, the church was called to fast for the self-revelation of the ministry of our church. It was for revelation. This morning I want to show you several other reasons why we can fast one day a week or longer as God tells you to do it. The things that we ask God for are facilitated by our praying. In Ezekiel chapter 9, we'll start with the first verse. Ezekiel chapter 9. And while you're turning, just let me say this. Jesus treated mourning and he treated fasting as the same thing. He treated these two separate words as together. Mourning and fasting. And fasting means humbling yourself. It also means mourning. And Jesus treated them interchangeably. Mourning over personal sins is what God is asking us to do. To see that we are not in the image of God as we should be. Fasting will help bring this about. Now, for the person who is really mourning over their sin and mourning over the sins of people, God is going to bless in a special way. And it all comes about in Ezekiel chapter, we'll start with verse 1 of chapter 9. I heard God shout, come here, you men who are going to punish the city. Bring your weapons with you. And at once, 6 men came from the outer north gate of the temple, each one carrying a weapon. With them was a man dressed in linen clothes, carrying something to write with. They all came and stood by the bronze altar. Then the dazzling light of the presence of God of Israel rose up from the winged creatures where it had been, and moved to the entrance of the temple. The Lord called to the man dressed in linen, go through the whole city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the forehead of everyone who is distressed. Put a mark on the forehead of everyone who is troubled because, why? All the disgusting things that are done in the city. And I heard God say to the other men, follow him through the city and kill, spare no one, have mercy on no one, kill the old men, the young women, the mothers, and the children, but don't touch anybody who's got the mark on their forehead. Start here at my temple. And so they began with the leaders who were standing there in the temple. The people who were spared were the people who had the mark on their forehead. Why did they have a mark on their forehead? They had a mark on their forehead because they were concerned. They were mourning over the conditions and the sins of the people, themselves in particular. Now, back up just a moment. Remember, Jesus treated mourning for sin and fasting as the same thing. And here, a person is spared because they mourned and God marked them as such. Mourning. God still today searches out, starting at the temple of God, looking for somebody to stand in the gap, looking for somebody who is concerned and who will couple not only their concern with intercessory prayer with this one fact of fasting, this neglected doctrine in the Word of God. When Daniel had his 21-day partial fast that we just read about, I want you to see, if you do not know, that in Daniel 10, he began, it says, I was mourning for 3 weeks. Why was he mourning? Because he was distressed. And if you have your Bibles open to Daniel 10, or just can listen to me, as we scan down farther into the book, we find in verse 12, that he was spoken to by an angel, and the angel said, Daniel, don't be afraid. God has heard your prayers ever since the first day that you started praying. You fasted for 21 days, but God heard it the first day. It took some time. You didn't give up. You persisted. And then after 21 days, I made it through. What happened was, the angel says, I had to fight some other principalities. But I was really trying. Michael tried to get through, but Michael had, as an angel, had to fight the other principalities of the air and the structure of Satan's host, even as we do today. So why do we fast? Why in the world would we want to fast? I want to tell you, other than revelation, we fast to change God's mind. What? Yes. When you fast, you can, if you have this as your purpose, God, I want to change your mind. I want to change God's mind about what God said he's going to do. Now, Jonah, chapter 3, verse 5, we will turn to. Jonah, chapter 3. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 1003. Jonah, chapter 3. We'll begin with verse 1. God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, a great city. I want you to proclaim to the people there the message that I have given you. So Jonah obeyed the Lord. He went to Nineveh. He went to Nineveh, a city that was so large that it took 3 days to walk through. He started walking through the city. And after walking a whole day, he proclaimed, in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed him. They believed God's message. So they decided that everybody should fast. And on all the people, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth to show that they had repented. God said, I will destroy the city. And the people fasted to change God's mind. And they repented. And when the king of Nineveh heard about it, he got up from his throne, he took off his robe, he put on sackcloth, He sat down in ashes. He sent out a proclamation to the whole city, and he said, "This is an order from the king and his officials. No one is to eat anything. All persons," he's proclaiming a fast to change God's mind. "No one is to eat anything. All persons, cattle and sheep, are forbidden to eat or to drink. People, cattle, and sheep are forbidden to eat or drink." What type of a fast is this? It's an absolute fast. All the animals. There's nothing wrong with your animals fasting one day, if in some serious situation. The bunnies, the ducks, the birds, the cats, the dogs. This city that was so great, that took 3 days to walk through, had a king who said, "I want everybody to fast. You are not to eat, you're not to drink. Not only are you not to eat or drink, your animals are not even going to eat and drink. We are going to change God's mind about what he said is going to do, what he said he's going to do." Now, you see, God has inflexible laws regarding sin, whether we like it or not. And some of these laws can be changed if we allow them to be changed, if we make the change ourselves. For example, in Jeremiah chapter 18, it says in verse 7 and in verse 8, "If at any time I say," this is God talking now, "that I am going to uproot, break down, or to destroy any nation or kingdom, but then that nation turns from its evil, I will not do what I said I would." First Kings chapter 21, verse 27. The writer says, when Elijah finished speaking, Ahab tore his clothes, took his clothes off, he put on sackcloth, he refused food. He went on a fast. He slept in the sackcloth, and he went about gloomy and depressed. And the Lord said to the prophet Elijah, "Have you noticed how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Since he has done this," fasting, "since he has done this, I will not bring disaster on him during his lifetime." So, examples in the Word of God where one reason for fasting is to change the mind of God. What is involved is saying, I know, God, that the punishment is this. I know I'm eligible for it, but I'm gonna change your mind by fasting. Now, what it does is it changes you. It changes you, which in turn changes what God said is going to be. When man repents in respect to sin, God repents in respect to judgment. When man repents in respect to sin, God repents in respect to judgment. So he says, that which I said would happen will not happen. For example, in the classical example of salvation, God says the unbeliever is going to go to hell. That's my judgment, God says. But if in the meantime that person accepts Jesus as their personal Savior, as Lord of their life, then God will repent of what he said he's going to do, because man has repented of sin. So as we fast, we can, as parents, fast for our children, and as adults, we can fast for one another within the church and with other people, standing in the gap for our loved ones, to change God's mind. It works. And the two examples that we've read of Ahab and the king and all the population of Nineveh prove that. So other than fasting for revelation, which we did a few weeks ago, one reason to fast is to change the mind of God. A second reason to fast is to free the captives. And in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, a scripture that we have looked at recently and read recently, Isaiah 58:6, it's the contrast to the real fast. In verse 5, when you fast, and in verse 6, the kind of fasting I want is this: remove the chains of oppression and the yoke of injustice, and let the oppressed go free. When we fast for ourselves, when we fast for others that we know are in chains, it breaks the yoke of bondage and it lets the people go free. It is fasting so that we can be delivered. People need deliverance within the church, and people need deliverance outside of the church. People have fallen among thieves, and fasting is a very powerful weapon to free the captives. Then the last type of the reasons for praying and fasting is to be heard by God. Ezra chapter 8 verse 23. Ezra 8:23. Ezra 8:23. Okay, we read. So we fasted and we prayed for God to protect us, and he answered our prayers. Fasting is designed so that our prayers will mount up as eagle wings. It's giving an edge to our intercession. It's giving power in petition. That's why we must mix fasting with our praying. Prayer is warfare, you know that. There are opposing forces. And there's spiritual cross currents that come against us all the time. And so when we fast with our prayer, we're giving notice in heaven. We're saying, God, I mean business. Like Susie said to Eddie, my mother means it now. We better stop playing. I better go straight home. And so when we turn to the Bible, we find that fasting was sometimes the climax of a very earnest and prolonged supplication. People were praying, then they would fast too, and they knew that in times when they were driven up against these cross currents, they could fast and they could say to God, hear my prayers. And God, when you fast and pray, that person means what they say. That person means what they say. The Benjamites committed a terrible crime. God told the other tribes to go up against them. They did, and two times the other tribes were put back. They suffered casualties. They could not win the battle. And the Bible says that, and they had prayed, and they wept before God, and they went into battle, and two times they were defeated. The third time, the scripture says in Judges 20, that they added another ingredient. They fasted with their praying. They fasted with their weeping. They went into battle and they won because they had fasted. Daniel sought God with fasting. And if we have sought God in vain for the fulfillment of some promise, maybe it is because he is waiting for us to put that edge to our prayer. Maybe he's asking us, how seriously do you really want this? Well, I guess it comes down to this. There are just many people around the world who are Christians who just don't give much attention to fasting, although it's mentioned 30 times in the New Testament and 56 times in the Old Testament. But the eyes of the Lord are still today searching the earth, searching King City for the Ezras who will confess the sins of a faithless remnant, weeping and casting themselves down before the Lord. God's eyes are still looking around the world, even King City, for the Nehemiahs who will weep and mourn and fast and pray because the walls are broken down. So, restoration, so renewal from the Lord will come as a result of men and women like you and myself who are going to fast as we pray. You've went through the 10 days with the vegetable and water fast, and God blessed more than you'll ever know. Let me encourage you this week to take a day and either go on a partial fast or an absolute fast or go on a normal fast. And God will bless you because God will say, hey, not only are they just praying da 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 da. Now it's da 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 da, and it rises up, and God listens, and God answers the person who prays and fasts. Father God, this is so neglected in the Christian world today. It is just that doctrine that's neglected and overlooked, and people don't realize the importance of it. But when we see in the Word, which is our guide, and which is that which we follow, that we see it does change the mind of God. It does set free the captives. We are heard by God, and we do have revelation. Then let us, Father, be motivated by your Holy Spirit to put it into practice and to tell our flesh, you are not going to rule my spirit. No, my spirit is going to rule my flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.